I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening today here on the Big 550 KTRS. Lately, we've been hearing a lot from presidential candidates about illegal immigration, an issue that seems to come up every single time we've got a presidential election, but then it kind of goes away, and then things get stirred up again. And unfortunately, most Americans don't really know the facts about illegal immigration. And certainly, some of our presidential candidates are getting them wrong. And considering we've got a half a dozen GOP candidates coming to St. Louis for fundraisers and rallies in the next few days, I thought we would dig into the issue and see what the story really is. So here's Douglas Massey, who's a sociologist at Princeton University in the Office of Population Research, to fill us in on what the facts actually are. Douglas, welcome to the Big 550.
It's great to be here.
Are immigrants coming to America in droves to take jobs and be a burden on our resources?
Well, when it comes to Mexican immigrants, they're not really coming to America at all anymore. Illegal migration from Mexico stopped about 5 years ago. In 2008, the illegal population dropped from 12 million to 11 million. And since then, it's been pretty much at a standstill of 11 million, and the Mexican portion has been going slowly downward. Illegal migration from Mexico, I think, is over, and it's not going to be coming back.
What changed?
What changed was, well, the precipitating point was the recession, and that brought immediate halt to the whole thing. But actually, the declines go back to around 2000, and what changed was the demography in Mexico, where the total fertility rate went from about 7.2 children per woman in 1965 to today's rate of about 2.3 children per woman. And it's been in about that rate for 10 years now. So labor force growth has actually decelerated in Mexico. There are fewer and fewer young people in the migration-prone ages, and Mexico is becoming an aging society, much like the United States.
And has their economy gotten better at the same time?
Their economy, relative to ours, has actually done pretty well. As anybody who reads the papers knows, real wages in the United States have been going down while they've been holding steady in Mexico. But if it were just the economic fundamentals, I think there would still be more migration coming from Mexico. But it's not what's really changed in the picture dramatically is the demography of Mexico.
You interviewed tens of thousands of Mexican migrants and immigrants as well for a piece of research that you're publishing very soon. What was the primary thing you learned about why they were coming to America or why they stopped?
Well, they were coming to the United States to take take jobs that were being offered to them. And they had been coming to the United States for decades. And Mexican immigration goes back to the early 20th century. And except for a brief halt during the Depression of the 1930s, it's been pretty much a constant. And in the late 1950s, for example, there were about 500,000 Mexicans entering the United States each year to work, mostly on guest worker permits, but about 50,000 of those were on permanent resident visas. But most of that movement, even those with permanent resident visas, was really circular. In 1965, Congress changed the laws, got rid of the guest worker program, and put a cap on immigration from nations in the Western Hemisphere, and that began the process of illegal migration. So after 1965, those 500,000 people kept circulating, but now they were circulating largely as undocumented migrants rather than as legal guest workers or permanent residents. And by 1985, this had caused a political problem in the United States. So the United States began militarizing the border, throwing more and more resources at border enforcement. But border enforcement had the unintended consequence not of stopping migration from Mexico, not stopping Mexicans from entering, but by driving up the costs and the risks of border crossing so much, it caused them to stop going home once they'd gotten across the border.
Okay, now this is a really important point, and I want to go back to this and emphasize this as well. Because we closed the border better than we had before, we had migrant laborers who were coming into this country, whether it was to pick strawberries and apples and peaches and lettuce, as migrant laborers have always done. They used to be able to do that for a season and then go home to Mexico and then come back in the following year and just be part of our agricultural base of workers here. But once we closed the border better than we had before, they couldn't go back and forth as easily, so they stayed here, right?
that's pretty much what happened. And it's not just agriculture. It's all kinds of seasonal labor and construction and food processing and so on. But by militarizing the border, we stopped people from going home once they were here, not keeping them from coming in the first place. And during the 1980s and 1990s up to about 2005, we actually were spending $3 or $4 billion a year in border enforcement, and the net effect of that spending was to double the net rate of undocumented population growth because we stopped the return flow.
Yeah, when people say we need to do more at the border, in fact, in the last decade, Border Patrol personnel have doubled. We now have 21,000 people doing that. People say we don't have a wall or a fence at all. We've built more than 650 miles of fencing, and we've got high-tech sensors out there, and drone technology is helping keep a better eye on the border. But the number one thing here is that we don't have that many people wanting to cross the border from Mexico, or at least Mexicans. So now I have to ask about the other parts of Central America, including Honduras and other countries that were a source of many illegal immigrants to this country. Have they stopped coming as well?
They've slowed down quite a bit, partly because Mexico's taking a harder line and enforcing its southern border with Guatemala. But the Central Americans were always there, but when we were apprehending 1.5 million Mexicans a year, as we were in the late 1990s, early 2000s, 50,000 Central Americans just got lost in the shuffle. So what you're seeing now is the only visible group on the border is Central Americans. And their numbers are very, very small by historical standards. Apprehensions are at their lowest point since 1972, and we've got, instead of about 2,000 Border Patrol officers looking for migrants, we've got 21,000 looking for migrants. So the per capita rate of catching is gone, you know, way, 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 way down. Basically, the Border Patrol officers are sitting in their Chevy Blazers staring at an empty border and doing nothing.
Why do so many Americans believe that we have a bigger illegal immigration problem now than we actually do?
Well, I think politicians have ridden the horse of fear mobilization about the alien invasion, about the changing demography of America, and they're having a hard time giving it up. It was so useful. So I've been testifying before Congress and writing op-ed pieces and telling people for the last 5 years that, hey, illegal migration is over. Mexican migration is, as a whole, is down to record low levels, and it's probably never going to come back to that mass migration we saw in the 1970s and 1980s. But they just don't want to hear it. People just don't want to accept that fact.
And yet we still have at least one leading presidential candidate saying we should round up all 11 million illegals who are in this country and deport them all. Is that possible?
One time when I was testifying before the Senate, Michael Chertoff, the Secretary of Homeland Security, was testifying just before me, and at that point, Senator Kennedy, the late senator, asked him point blank, can we really think about deporting 12 million people? It was 12 million back then. And Chertoff basically said, no, that's just impractical. In practical terms, like, we couldn't do it, and in political and moral terms, it would be something impossible to do. So if Bush, as Secretary of Homeland Security, said it's not possible, I just don't think it's possible, much less humane. These people now have been in the United States for an average of 10 or 15 years. They've got U.S.-born kids. They've got jobs. They've got houses. 90%, 95% of them have no criminal background at all. Immigrants have lower crime rates than natives. Immigrant neighborhoods have lower crime rates than native neighborhoods. So it's just the big impasse at this point is what to do with these people. And I think the only realistic solution, and one that makes sense if you're a baby boomer looking to retire, is you want to give these people a pathway to legalization so that they can come above board, earn higher wages, pay more taxes, and help support the baby boom when it retires.
Let me just back up for a second here, put the brakes on and back up to you. Just a moment ago, you talked about crime rates among illegal aliens, because we hear this as well. They're coming to our country and they're criminals.
Well, they're not. If you look at the data, immigrant neighborhoods have lower crime rates than native neighborhoods. And if you look at foreign-born, they have a lower crime rate than native-born Americans. Human beings commit crimes. It's a sad fact of our human nature. But the question is, when you look at groups, is which ones have high rates and which ones have low rates. And immigrants have low rates.
You know, I'm the grandchild of immigrants who came here from Eastern Europe in the latter part of the 19th century and the early part of the 20th century.
Yeah, me too.
And these are people who came here because they saw America as the place to go to succeed, to get away from the grief that they were suffering where they were, but also as the place to go to succeed. And I know a lot of immigrants, first and second generation immigrants now, who still come to this country and still believe that. And for the most part, they tend to be incredibly hardworking people who really are more interested in the American dream in some ways than a lot of us are. Have you found the same in talking to them?
Oh, yeah. I find exactly the same thing. It's really no different now than it was in the past. The demonization of immigrants is really the same as it was in the past. It's just the groups have changed. So if you flash back to the 1920s, it was WASPs who were all worried and upset about Jews, Italians, and Poles coming into the United States, and they're saying the same terrible things about them that people like our politicians today are saying about Mexicans and Latin Americans.
But yep.
Really, the situation is pretty much the same. And as for devotion to America, if you go down to Mexico and go to local churches where there's a venerated saint or a statue of the Virgin that people make pilgrimages to, you look on the walls there and you'll find picture after picture after picture of a Mexican kid, a Mexican son, in a U.S. military uniform, and a note to the Virgin thanking the Virgin for protecting my son while he was in Iraq, protecting my son while he was in Afghanistan. The walls are just covered with Americana in Mexico.
One last question for you, Douglas, and that is, if we were to get rid of all 11 million illegal aliens in this country and stop every one of them from coming over the border and working in those fields ever again, how much would a salad cost?
Well, you'd pay more for the salad. You'd be eating a lot more imported lettuce from somewhere else in the world. You'd lose a lot of jobs that are to American citizens in the food processing industries and the supervisory roles that they play in the agricultural industry. You would be worse off.
Douglas Massey is a sociologist in the Office of Population Research at Princeton University. Thank you so much for joining me here today.
Sure.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.